Folks, this is the way we built Bloomberg Surveillance, which is we spend an inordinate little time on bookings. Paul, I, John Farrow, Lisa Bramowitz, we just focus on what we need to do, and we have a spectacular team around us going, what would they want? And this morning I said, if I don't talk to Greg Giroux, I'm going to fall apart. Joining us now, thank you team so much, Greg Giroux, Bloomberg Government Senior Elections Reporter. Greg, here's the reality of the two Cheneys, the vice president and the defeated congresswoman. I'm looking at a 1936 shack in Jackson Hole with a tax assessment of $90,000. The property taxes are $3,000 a year, and it's for sale for $4.5 million. Oh. That's how fast Wyoming changed, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Wyoming's changed a lot over the years, and this really is the end of a political dynasty. I mean, who would have thought that, 10, 15 years ago, maybe even less than that, that, Bushes and Cheneys would be, persona non grata in Republican primaries. But this really, last night's shellacking, and it was. Cheney lost by almost 40 percentage points. Really underscores Donald Trump's sway over the base Republican voters.
Paul, we're going out to Jackson Hole, and literally the staff at the wonderful Lodge Jackson Hole.
Yeah, love that place.
They live in Idaho.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford to live in Wyoming.
Can't afford it. Greg, what do we take away, if anything, from some of these primaries we've had yesterday and over the last couple of months as it relates to the future of this Republican Party? It feels to this layperson that it's the party of Donald Trump.
It really is. And even though we have a lot more Democrats retiring or leaving Congress than Republicans, of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump in January of 2021, only one or two of them are going to come back for the next Congress. Eight of them, including Liz Cheney, were either defeated in the primaries or chose to retire. So he's really, Donald Trump and his supporters really one by one have picked off a lot of the skeptics and whatever opponents to him there are in the Republican Party.
What does that mean for the Republican Party and the Democrats, I mean, strategy-wise for these midterms? I mean, is it something, I guess, the thinking was up until just recently, maybe even now, that the Democrats are really going to be at risk here in the midterms. Is that still the feeling?
I mean, their majorities are still at risk. I think things are better for the Democrats than they were a couple of months ago. I think in the Senate, you might even have to rate them a slight favorite to hold that chamber, that 50-50 chamber. The House, the Republicans only need a net gain of four seats, so that's a tougher hold for the Democrats. But what the Democrats want to do is try and, midterms are usually referendum elections on the sitting administration. What the Democrats want to try and do is make this into a choice election. One phrase that Joe Biden likes to invoke and attributes to his father is, don't compare me to the almighty, compare me to the alternative. And I think you'll hear that a lot in the coming 85 days and change.
How do you envision the first, the second, the third presidential debate of the Republican Party? Let's just assume Mr. Trump and there'll be 5, 7, 8 other traditional Republicans, or is that model broken, Greg Giroux?
I've been thinking about that, actually, and one thing we learned about the 2016 presidential primaries and kind of the what-if question I play around is, what if to the extent there was anti-Trump Republican voters in that 2016 primary, what if they had all coalesced behind one candidate? One reason why Trump became the nominee was the opposition to him in the Republican primaries was splintered. And I think the question will be who decides to challenge him if Trump decides to run again, and will the field be splintered enough that would allow him to win with ease, or could it be a one-on-one race? I mean, what does Ron DeSantis do, for example?
So, I mean, Greg, one name I have to bring back, Sarah Palin. Can you just give us a sense of what she did in the great state of Alaska?
Yeah, well, it's the verdict is still out on that because she was running in what's called a ranked choice voting election that basically allows voters a new system in Alaska. It's also used in Maine that allows you to rank your candidates in order of preference instead of picking just one. And what happened last night in Alaska, and we won't know the outcome for a couple of weeks, is that Palin placed second out of third. There are two Republicans and one Democrat running in the race. Alaska leans Republican, but the question is that third place candidate right now, Nick Begich, We have to see who voted, who their second preferences were on his ballots. And if all those, if Nick Begich's second choice people were Palin voters, then she could win. But the Democrat could still pull an upset in the second count of ballots. It's kind of complicated, but Palin is still in the running for that seat.
Thank you for explaining that. I didn't understand a word you said. Greg Turow, greatly appreciated. We have to have him back on ranked choice. I've seriously read about it like three times, Paul, and I still don't get it. My brain can't wrap itself
around it. It's a new wrinkle,
It's a new wrinkle.